The golden goal lasso. That's what it felt like. Excellent job, our grand leader, on the intro right there, capturing the emotion not only from this year's gold medal for Team USA for the men's and women, but also a nice little throwback with some highlights where you're able to mix in and kind of get everything together. It is Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score, all the way till 5 o'clock. Yes, that's right. We back at it, baby. Let's go. And we're trying to just, first of all, okay, time out. Before I get on my USA hockey rant, I was listening to the, I get it now. Like if I'm a Chicagoan and I had to listen to whoever Buddy was talk about the Bears Stadium because I heard him on like right before I came on. Now, I asked Grant, he's producing today, and I'm like, is that Rami? He's like, is that like a guy that we're replaying? He's like, no, that's national, you know? And I'm thinking, who is this guy? As a Chicagoan, I'm like, who is this guy? And why is he talking about my stadium? And why is he getting me worked up? I'm not even trying to get worked up. I wanted to come in hot about hockey. And this guy is talking about the Bears Stadium. And I'm thinking, like, you have no idea what you're talking about. And then the caller calls in and he's like, are the Bears one of the storied franchises? Like, you don't even know what you're talking about. And it got me so worked up. So we'll get into some conversation about the Chicago Bears, get you all filled in and obviously ready to go on all the updates that's going on there. But, oh, and the phone lines are open. You know, I'm looking for my first caller of the day. Grant's out here manning the phones, handling, not only editing amazing intros, but also going to be talking to you because I'm looking for my first caller of the day. And of course, if you're a night owl, we were trying to talk to you. If you're not, and you just want to chime in about the Bears, maybe even some USA hockey, which was unbelievable because, oh, first of all, 312-644-6767. Again, 312-644-6767. You can go ahead and be the first caller of the day. Line yourselves up right now because, again, I don't do this shift to talk to you for 5 hours. It's not what I'm doing. This is an interactive show. So we got to get some phone calls in so that way we can chat this whole thing up. But going back to USA Hockey for a second, you know, I'm not going to pretend to be just relaxed about it like most people were. They're just, you know, hey, gold medal, USA, that's what we do. That's what's supposed to happen. But USA Hockey just, in fact, I mean, did what most people did not think was possible. Obviously, Team Canada having juggernauts on their side. And it really does hit home a little different because we've watched this sport, you know, break our hearts for years in whatever capacity. Obviously, Chicago Blackhawks and their championship runs, and then all of a sudden, you know, it kind of goes away for a little bit. And it's been kind of heartbreaking. And we've had, Team USA has had those almost years, the close years where, you know, Canada, I remember, you know, just, I think it was the Worlds where Canada won in overtime. It's heartbreaking moments. And then when you think about the generation of hockey players that have grown up on Patrick Kane, right? I'm talking about American hockey players. Where Patrick Kane comes in, obviously becomes the number one point leader a couple weeks ago. And with the hockey assist, by the way, which I don't know, well, that's the whole of the rant. But anyways, he becomes the leading point scorer, American hockey point scorer ever. And you got to remember, he did raise a generation of young, talented players here in the States. And so that era, along with the fans, they've essentially been waiting for this. And so they put one on paper finally, Team USA, a game which you weren't necessarily sure what was going to end up happening. But it wasn't a fluke. Didn't seem like the team caught lightning. This is a team that was putting up tons of goals, you know, the entire tournament. This felt like, you know, they assembled one of the best defensive front lines, you know, that Team USA hockey has ever seen. I'll get to that. I had a chance to talk to Frank Saravalli Friday on the Chicago Lead, a brilliant hockey mind. And of course, if you follow hockey, you know exactly who Frank Saravalli is. He talked a lot about, you know, how Team USA can pull it off. Talked about that vaunted defense of Team USA. And, you know, essentially gave the blueprint on how they were supposed to win. And it was, you know, grown man hockey, survive the storm because you knew Team Canada was going to put the pressure early. Stay disciplined throughout the entire way. And then hopefully find your moments where you can capitalize. And here's why I love it for the Chicago audience specifically. And that's where we're going to take a call starting with this one. It's gold medal, right? It's USA over Canada in overtime. And it really is defining what USA Hockey means, right? Toughness, the ability to be clutch. You can be flashy, right? Like American style. You can be flashy. But if you're not really built for the moment, which is exactly what happened over the weekend, right? Where not only do you beat Sweden, a team that most people thought could have been right in the line with the gold medal with Team Canada and Team USA, handle business. And then, you know, USA looked like they were built for the moment. That's all I can say. So I need to know where you're at with this one. At this, I mean, you can call it the start of a new era, right? Or just one unbelievable night we'll be talking about for quite some time. So the phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. My hockey aficionados would love to hear from you. Also taking calls on the Bears, which, oof, I know I'll get out to my rants in a second. But we got our first caller of the day. Let's go, baby. We got Steve. Steve, first caller of the day. Welcome to the show, my young man.
Hello?
Steve, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's up?
I mean, USA Hockey, what were you thinking when the USA finally pulled it off and got that gold medal?
All I want to say is that is what hockey is supposed to be. The amount of skill on both sides, it just... I watched the whole game. That's the way hockey is supposed to be played.
Tell me more about it, right? I mean, this has been an unbelievable run by Team USA with the offensive output that they had, and then obviously coming down to Team Canada, what seemed like a collision course for these two teams, right, Steve? I mean, it was just impressive in the way that they stepped up to the moment.
This started back at the Tournament of Four Nations. The U.S. planted a seed back then. We didn't take the Four Nations, but we took it when it meant the most at the Olympics. And just the amount of skill from both teams, it was just that's the way hockey is supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, the pace was fast, right, Steve? I mean, that's what you want to see. Because if you're watching Olympic hockey, you're talking about the highest skills, right, that are out there. And I think
Correct. With
this, you saw a pace that was NHL fast. And you also saw defense that was top tier from both teams, really, right? I mean, to go 1-1 into overtime,
sure.
You know, knowing what's at stake, I mean, it meant so much for both of these squads.
For sure. And it was just, yes, the United States ended up winning, but that was just, I happened to be alive in 1980. I was 12 years old watching the Miracle on Ice, and that's what made me a hockey fan. And the fact that it happened on the same day to the day, 46 years.
Talk to
Steve,
do me a favor. Talk to me about that, because I just have seen it in movies and, you know, people mentioning it, right? But I do know what it's like to be able to experience certain mega moments like that. But I try to paint the picture for me with that one back in the 80s. Like, what was USA like?
I was 12 years old, and all you heard about was the United States hockey team. I made sure I had to be at school the next day. But you just made sure you had to watch that game. And when that happened, it was, I don't know if I really could put it into words. It that's why I'm a hockey fan today.
Well, Steve, I'm glad that you ended up being able to experience it, right? This many years later, to have been a fan and like a passionate fan at that, back when that happened, and obviously to have it come full circle now, I'm happy for you and people that have been able to experience it that way. And that's who I really want to talk to as well, right? Those of you that can put it into perspective, you know, having this full circle moment with Team USA Hockey, a team that's been close. And you feel like, you know, let's be honest, Team US, the United States of America, when it comes to Olympics, there is a level of arrogance that, you know, that we have in the States where...
No, not at all.
No, right? I remember it was like Monday or Tuesday, David, we were doing the medal count, David Hall and I, and we're like, why is USA third? Why is Norway number one? What's going on here?
Norway was really good this year.
She's really good. But the arrogance, and it's not even in the bad way, but it's just more like the naivete where you're like, of course we should be at the top. Of course USA should win men's hockey. Like, there's people in the States that are like, oh, USA won gold medal in hockey? Yeah, but that's why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't we have the NHL? People are naive, like, to that sense. But I know it means a lot. So again, I would love to hear from people just like Steve that have experienced the gold medal, the Miracle on Ice, and now get an opportunity to experience this one firsthand. I would love for you to compare the two, right? How did that feel? Because I do understand this, though. I understand it's a huge moment in hockey, but as a non-hockey fan, right, I need someone else to put it in perspective the level of importance that we're at right now.
This level of importance is not into the level of Miracle on Ice, based because, like, outside of hockey, the certain things that were happening in the country at the time were a lot different than they are today. But this is sort of that same type of level of, like, this is a true, not underdog team, because it's full of NHL players that are, like, at the top of their game. But it's like USA has been the little brother to Canada for so many years. And Canada has been able to take that and have bragging rights and run with it for so many years. This is finally our time in the hockey sense, for the men's at least.
Yeah, and then you saw moments, right? Familiar faces. Jonathan Toews missing a goal, which he felt like he should, you know, maybe 10 years ago, he might have knocked that in without question. There's some situations like that. But again, Canada, where most USA hockey fans, you know, 20 years ago, the casual ones at least, you just thought European teams were the ones that would sit above everyone else. And then Team Canada, obviously, has done a phenomenal job of just putting together a juggernaut with talent. But again, we'd love to talk some hockey, thoughts on it, you know, feelings on this game in particular. I'd love to get, like I said, people that are passionate about this stuff, so I can kind of get some feelings out there. But let's go back up to the phones. 312-644-6767, of course. The storylines of Chicago are dominated by a couple of things. Slower time in the news cycle. Of course, that's hockey, some Cubs spring training, and of course, Bear Stadium talking. That's what we're talking about as well. So feel free to chime in on that. I know I got one of my night owls checking in right now. We got Will number two out in Forest Park. Will, what's up, man? Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jay. What's going on with you, man? How are you?
Hanging in there. Ready for another fantastic overnight. I've been sleeping since 6 p.m. I was my kids and I, we went out to we did a staycation over the weekend, went out to Oak Brook, got a little hotel with a pool. So I feel like the pool wore me out. I got back at 6 and I start nodding, and I'm like, damn, I'm tired. I'm like, babe, I think I need to go to sleep right now. And sure enough, I've been in and out of sleep. So I'm feeling good. I'm wired up right now, Will. But I know you're wired up about this Bear Stadium situation, man. Talk to me a little bit.
You know what? I'm actually not in a more at the moment. I'm more than a night owl. I'm headed home from the Jewel of River Forest. I had to go pick up a few things before the morning. So I said, well, you know what? When I turned on the radio, I heard your voice. So you know what? Let me get my call in.
My guy.
I got to start carrying these groceries in.
What's up? Well, I appreciate you, man.
Well, maybe you can help me understand what is actually going on with the Bears Stadium. I personally don't see them leaving Chicago or Chicagoland, but I don't know. There's proposals from Indiana, all over Indiana, Gary, Hammond, whatever. What do you say?
I mean, look, I'll tell you this. Okay. I think it is. Let me start here. The Bears.
Okay.
Because, you know, in talk radio, sports talk radio specifically, you need to be like 10 toes and cement blocks on your opinions, right? And mine is the Bears are not leaving Illinois. And I have been saying that. I don't care what bills are passing. I don't care what your little auntie says in, you know, Gary, Indiana. Bears are not leaving Illinois. And the reason why I say it is, and this is just me as a Chicagoan, right, is that I know that we're finicky. I know that we don't like being told what to do. I know that we don't like being strong-armed. And you know, I know the state of Illinois feels that way with the Bears, but at the same time, you know, we're not going to be foolish, and by we, I mean the state of Illinois, to just allow something like that to happen, because we're still Illinois. We're still the Al Capone capital. You know what I mean? So when it looks like you're going away, Illinois will come through and be like, hey, bro, chill out. Sit down a little, bro. And then, like, figure it out, you know, and, like, get them, like he's, like, J.B. Pritzker's been saying, there's been good conversations. Kevin Warren, all right, we're back at the table. We're moving forward with things. Because we just knew that was going to happen, right? Illinois is too powerful to just not be able to, where they can make the, not the lie, but they can say things like, the Bears are not a priority in 2026. And then at the same time be like, all right, fine. We'll it's so Chicago. It's such an Illinois thing to be like, you're not a priority, and then be like, all right, everybody's tripping. Let me move you up to the front of the line and figure this thing out. And so that's
you may not get a kick out of this. So I went to SIU at Carbondale.
Yep, same.
So of course, my roommate from college and a bunch of my friends are from Decatur. But I still got a bunch of good friends today, all these years later. And I've been messing with them for the last several years going, hey, you guys want your team back?
Because a lot of Decatur folks, right.
Yeah, a lot of Decatur folks are not Bears fans. A lot of them may be Chicago fans, honestly. But
right.
A lot of them are not Bears fans. They will root for St. Louis teams. Like a good friend of mine is a St. Louis Cardinals fan. And I have to understand it. I'm like, yeah, because look, you're about, what, maybe 3 hours from Chicago? It don't mean that much to you, so. But yeah, I have been messing with a bunch of them going, hey, you guys want your team back?
As you should. As you should. I mean, listen, well, I mean, it's just preposterous to think that, you know, at some point in time, the team would end up out there. Right. I get it. You got to do due diligence, and you got to, you know, any negotiation 101. Right. You just need two interested parties. Me and myself. My house is on the market right now, and I had open houses on Saturday and Sunday. And I'm telling my wife, like, babe, all you need is two people, right?
Come on, man. Where are you going, man? You leaving the area?
No. Fortunately enough, I'm staying in the same area. We just, you know, Sometimes you got to upgrade, Will. Sometimes you got to get up, baby.
Well, you know what, my man? You got a family, so that's totally
exactly.
Understandable.
And I just had my third baby, so, you know, I got to upgrade. But again, the point is that, you know, you got to be able to leverage, you know, one entity over the other. And I think that's where the Bears are at right now, where they're just, they were doing their due diligence. They had to put it out there so that there could be a little bit of jealousy, and it's exactly what happened. But I cannot see them going anywhere.
Yeah, this is just jousting between the Bears organization and these possibly corrupt or non-corrupt Illinois politicians.
Right.
I get it.
So, Will, where do you think they'll be, and in what year will you be watching a Bears game in a new stadium?
Well, a couple of my friends I'm kind of at war with. You know, I kind of fell out with them over the Bears winning the last half of the season. So. The Bears aren't going anywhere. I see them in Arlington Heights, which is where I thought they should go in the first place.
True.
Once again, build a modern stadium where the fans can – because trust me, I've been to Soldier Field several times for more than just Bears games. It's not that comfortable to me. Matter of fact, the last time I was there for that Beyonce, Jay-Z concert, and I was like – and I was there with my girlfriend at the time. I'm like, this is not comfortable. And I forget how uncomfortable sitting in those stadium seats are. So I want them to build a modern stadium where the fans can enjoy themselves, and the stadium can be used for other things, college football,
sure,
different things of that nature.
Will, I got to be honest though, I'm disappointed that you were sitting down during a Beyonce concert.
Well, you know, I was getting my groove on a little bit here and there, but you know, when I had to sit down, I was like, well, yeah. Well, I'm not gonna say who I sat down on, because it was Chance the Rapper, DJ Khaled. And one or two other people I can't remember.
Fair enough.
But when I did sit down, it was not comfortable.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you checking in as always, man. It really means a lot that you decided to pick up that phone once you heard that I was on the radio, man. So I appreciate you.
Oh, no doubt.
All right,
no
Will.
Doubt. Now I'm going to park this vehicle and get my butt in the house.
Hey, let's go get some sleep. Well, I'll talk to you soon, man. All right, 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 104.3 The Score, taking your phone calls. Love to talk to some people about U.S. Team USA getting that gold medal. Also open talking about some Bears, because, you know, I'm easy to get worked up about the Bears stadium situation and just the team. That's the other thing. Talk to me about the stadium. Sure. I'm up to here with stadium talk, but the combine is around the corner. So I would love to talk some Bears draft or some areas of need for that squad as well. Let's go out to Herschel out in the road talking about some Team USA hockey. Herschel, when you saw this one, what was the first thing that came to mind when we got the golden goal?
Okay, first of all, Jay, how you doing, first of all?
Hanging out there, man, chilling.
And shout out to our boy, David Haw, Vegas Haw.
You know it.
Right. And then third of all, who?
That's right, baby. You know you my night owl in the building. Let's go.
Come on.
Shout out to night owls out there. My bad. I didn't know.
Come on.
Are you a night owl? Who? You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Come on. Who?
I love it. All right. So Team USA Hockey, I love it. Talk to me about it. What were your feelings in this one?
So my feelings was I was always into sports that aren't, like, you know, publicized, like women's hockey and wheelchair sports and me being disabled. So it's like, you know, it's something where it's good for, you know, for our eyes to see that there are other genders that are doing their thing.
Yeah.
I'm not some gender weirdo or whatever, but the fact that I'm disabled, you don't never hear about wheelchair sports, which there should be more publicized, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I was happy. You know, I've always been a fan of, like, the Donato family. I don't know if you know who they are.
Yeah.
But his daughter played for the USA for a while. She's a beast.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a super beast. But she ain't no Mallory Swanson, but we'll be all right.
fair enough.
Right. But the Bears, though, man, I just want to wake up tomorrow and just, we got Max Crosby or somebody that's going to be able to produce, you know what I'm saying, on that end. Because, man, we need it, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If we got to get rid of our boy, DJ, it would suck. But, hey, you know what? Hey, sorry.
I know. I mean, when you're thinking about this defense, I think, here, before I get to the defense, Herschel, talk to me about this offense, right? Because clearly you're content and satisfied with what's going on. And the question that I have for you is the jump, right? I can't wrap my brain around the jump the offense is going to take next year. And I don't want to be, you know, too much of a homer and be like, oh man, they're going crazy like a rocket ship. But I also want to be a realist. So I'm curious, in your mind, before we get to the defensive side, Herschel, what kind of a jump do you think Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson, and this offense will take from year one to year two?
Well, considering that we weren't supposed to be as good as we were this year, I'm kind of scared to even say what we're going to be or what we're not going to be, because the fact is, if we got no way but to go up, you know what I'm saying? If we go backwards, I mean, I feel like we're going back to the Matt Nagy era. You know what I'm saying? That's right. Going to scare me, you know?
It could be scary.
But I feel like, though, but Ben Johnson is way better than Matt Nagy, you know what I'm saying? So I think we'll be okay. I think we won't win like we won this year, but we're still going to be in that top three conversation as far as, like, whoever, you know, like, top three, you know, best teams in the league. You know, obviously it's one man out of four. So I think we'll be all right. We just got to get to that second tier of the playoff game. You know what I'm saying? We need to win the NFC Championship.
So do you think you think the Bears are going to win more or less than 11 games next year?
I would say it's going to be pretty even. I don't want to say they're going to go, like, you know, 17-0 or 14-3, but I'm saying, like, I think it's going to be more of the same this year. Because we were 11-6 or something?
11-6 last year. Yeah, 11-6.
Right, so we could have won probably three of those games, of those six. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I think.
And, but don't think about the games that they could have lost, right? All the ones that went down to the last minute. Seven games where he came back, you know. So, I mean, it's going to be – and then they got a tougher schedule. It's going to be tough. But –
That's going to show us. That's going to show. If we can do as much as we did this year on next year with a harder schedule, hey, ain't nothing holding us back.
I agree.
You
and know, listen,
Chicago.
I'll be here talking about it, Herschel, with you and ready to. And Grant, we'll all be here doing Bears reactions Sundays into Mondays. Hopefully not. Though.
Right.
All right. Hey, man, I appreciate you, Herschel, as always, checking in. You already know my night owls. Yeah. And
wait, one more thing. I'm going to say this about what you said earlier about Bears ain't going nowhere. I concur triple times, because Mayor Brandon Johnson and Governor Pritzker, I do not want to be those people, politicians, that allow the Bears to leave the state.
Of course
it's not happening.
Of course
period,
not. I agree with
especially
that.
If he wants to run. He wants to run for president or whatever, whether he wins or not. He definitely ain't going to win if he let the Bears go. It's over with.
Yeah. You know, in political campaigns, the last thing you want to do is give your opponent some ammunition. And if the Bears were to leave, that'd definitely be that. Hey, Herschel, I appreciate you, man, for checking in as always. 312-644-6767. Let's take one more before we go to break. Let's go to John out in Chicago. All right, so John, you're who I wanted to talk to about this Team USA thing, right? Those that were alive and like, now I'm talking about live, like 2 or 3 years old, where your grandma told you about it. I want to know about people that were there experiencing it, and that was you, John. You saw the Miracle on Ice, and were you able to paint a picture for me on what that was like, right?
Yeah, I was 11 years old at the time,
okay.
And the semifinal game was against the Soviet Union, and we weren't supposed to beat them, and we beat them. And everybody said we had no business being in the Olympics that year because they said that everybody was better than us. And then when we beat Finland, that's probably what started me playing hockey, because I really wasn't a big hockey fan until after I watched that. And a bunch of my friends did the same thing. And right after that happened, we started playing hockey in the summertime in like parking lots and stuff like that, shooting pucks up against the walls. You know, back then nobody could afford skates.
So right, you're just running around.
Yeah, we're not buying them and stuff.
Right, yeah. You're running around on the blacktop with a racquetball or something like that. Right.
Get it. You know, and then when I watched it this year, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going, I saw Finland go up 2-0, and I can't. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be a repeat of the 80 Olympics. I said, there's no way. And sure enough, Canada came back and won. But I was just like, when I saw them tie the game at the end of the second period, I'm like, oh no.
Yeah. You talking about Canada when they tied it up? Yeah.
Yeah, we looked bad period two and period three. They could have won that game easily 4-1.
Oh man, they had so many opportunities in that one.
Our goaltender, he stood on his head and then some. I was just like, I couldn't believe what I was watching. I was like,
We'll get to a clip, John, in a second. Where we had a chance to talk to Eddie Olczyk last week, who was out there at the Olympics, obviously covering the games for NBC. And, you know, in one of the questions I asked him, I was like, what's going to be the differentiator here, right? And he talked about goalie play. He's like, guys, you know, with a one and done, if a goalie standing on his head, like you just mentioned, and, you know, he got ice in his veins that day, that team's going to win. It doesn't matter who the better team is. It matters who the better goalie is. And we saw some great goalie play. What flashbacks did you have, John, as you're watching that game, USA versus Canada? And you're obviously, there had to have been moments that came back to you. What was that like? What was that feeling like, kind of, you know, flashbacks popping back into your head from when you were 11 years old?
It was crazy because it was like 9 in the morning. And I just woke up at 8, and I missed the whole first period. And I'm just like, when I saw we were up 1-0, I'm like, oh, man, I missed the only goal we got. I'm like, ain't that something? I was like, I said a few expletives, but whatever. You know, so I'm sitting there, and I'm going, and I'm like on the edge of my seat. Because it looked like we were playing on our heels, and all they were doing was pressuring us, constant pressure. And we were dropping sticks left and right. And I'm looking, I'm going, there's no way we're going to win this game. We keep dropping sticks every period, like right. 3 or 4. I mean, they're just laying all over the ice everywhere. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going, and then we get, what, 3 penalties called against us?
It's
bad. Just like, really?
That 5-on-3 was tough.
And they killed it, which was amazing. And I didn't think that was going to happen either. But when I saw Connor McDavid on the breakaway and didn't even get a shot off, I'm like, okay. I'm like, I don't know if that was luck, but I'll take it.
Of course you will. Of course you will. Take the gold medal as well, John.
I'm glad
you're able to experience another gold medal for Team USA, of course. Taking down Canada 2-1 in overtime. Getting the Jack Hughes golden goal at 1:41. And when we come back on the other side, I'm going to take you into Team Canada's locker room and hear the coach who complained a little bit about the overtime format. I'll give you that. I'll also let you know how Team USA was feeling about this one. But taking your phone calls as well, not only about hockey, but about this Bears situation. You got things to say about this Bears defense, about the stadium, what they should be doing at number 25, all things on the table, and your calls next. 312-644-6767 is Gabe Ramirez, live and local with you till 5 a.m. right here on 104.3 The Score.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
And it's Werenski. Now Jack Hughes puts it around the car. United States with numbers. Back across it comes. Jack Hughes wins it. The golden goal for the United States. For the first time since the 1980 miracle, the United States takes the gold. Jack Hughes beating Jordan Bennington.
In what seemed like fate, Team USA takes down Team Canada 2-1 to pick up the gold medal at the Winter Olympics. What up? It's Gabe Ramirez here on 104.3 The Score. And you can't mention the Team USA's victory without mentioning Connor Hellebuyck. Of course, a phenomenal performance, stopping 41 of 42 shots. And they said it. They said he needed to, you know, it had to be a perfect game to get beat and to beat those Canadians. And it's exactly what they ended up doing. Matt Boldy finished early. Kale Maker tied it up. Jack Hughes ends it with the golden goal. And as mentioned, Team USA ends up victorious. So taking calls about just the whole hockey situation, right? I mean, I want to be very transparent. I'm not going to sit up here and try to pretend like I'm some hockey aficionado, right? I mean, very clear, I covered the Blackhawks on CHSN. So I know what's going on with, you know, our guys, Connor Bedard not making the team, et cetera, and obviously the big names that are on Team Canada and Team USA. But I would love for you guys to be able to articulate, you know, what this victory meant for you. It's for all my hockey fans out there. So we'll get to that in just a second. But first, also talking about your Chicago Bears. Not only the stadium situation, but, you know, we have the luxury as Bears fans to be talking about areas of need so that way we can maybe push this team a little bit further into the playoffs. So let's go out to the phone lines and chat a little bit about our Bears. We got Terrence on the north side calling in. Terrence, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
What's going on, brother? What's going on? First time caller and all of that. How this works, Bill?
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. And then I get to see what you're talking about. So Max Crosby is I see it on the screen now. I'm curious, are you someone that wants to welcome a Max Crosby despite what it might cost, or are you trying to push back on Max Crosby coming to the Bears?
I'm pushing back on Max Crosby coming to the Bears on the cost, right? If we can get Max Crosby for less than a first-round draft pick, I'm all on board
okay.
for it.
Okay.
If it costs a first-round draft pick to get Max Crosby, I'm like, we can not do it.
But in what world are you getting Max Crosby for not a first-round pick?
Listen, it is the NFL, and leverage is a thing that you only have when people know that your relationship is tenable, right? So, like, if we know that you are trying to move Max Crosby,
right?
Why am I going to offer you what you want for Max Crosby when you don't have any plans on keeping him?
All right, I'm very much Terrence. I'm very much a solution. Like, we know the problem, but I'm very much a solutions guy. So, if the problem is Max Crosby for a first round pick, what's the solution then, right? If it's not that, then what is it in order to get Max Crosby?
I mean, me, I'm moving off Max Crosby altogether and just going to go get Jalen Phillips.
Who? Oh, Jalen Phillips?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? Because we already have Sweat. Montez Sweat is already the strong side defensive end, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, if we're looking for a pure pass rusher on the other side, Jalen Phillips has shown, at least in his last season in Philadelphia, that he's close to his pre-injury self that he flashed in Miami. And so we got to spend the money anyway, right? So
true.
Go, like, you want him to go get after the passer. We can address D-tackle through the draft. And now, just very quickly, without costing us the first-round draft pick, we have upgraded our defensive line and the ability on our defensive line through draft and free agent signing. And, like, you're going to have to overspend somewhere, right?
Right.
And Jalen Phillips is younger than Max Crosby, right? Not as proven, obviously, as Max Crosby, but he is younger.
And someone who had the benefit of playing in a really good defensive line, right? We've seen that before where, you know, guys can put up numbers when they're playing alongside Jalen Carter and obviously other greats on the defensive side for Philadelphia. And then when they get a new contract, they don't necessarily perform the same way.
Which is true, right? But that's the risk you run with anything, right? Like, also the same is you see a guy who has played well and then they've hit the point in the career where, like, they've also, like, all right, I can't sustain the same level of play. And, like, Max is getting long in the tooth for an NFL player, right? He's a young man, But like for an NFL veteran, like he's getting up there, especially at the end.
It's giving Jared Allen a little bit, you know, where the a little bit. I didn't say all the way, a little bit. But let me ask you this, Terrence, right? Because I think a lot of times we as fans, we look at areas of need, and obviously we cheerlead for a specific position. But do you feel, after watching the Super Bowl with teams like Seattle and the Patriots, and watching the level that their defense was playing at, are the Bears simply just one player away from having that type of elite defense?
I don't think that they're one player away, right? I think there are a couple of players, a couple of impact players away, right? And so I think that if you can, it falls in two areas, the linebacker play and the defensive line play defensively. Right, if you can get one impact player at either D tackle or the opposite edge from Montez Sweat, either or, right, it pushes the defense into another stratosphere. And also another impact, I think if they can upgrade the talent at linebacker, not that I think that they are not talented at linebacker,
right,
but I think that there is room to improve on the talent at linebacker, at the inside linebacker spots. And those two things, just those two spots, right, will exponentially improve the product on the field for the defense. Because, listen, that Rams defensive performance is one of the ones I was like, okay, this is what this defense is actually supposed to look like.
They look good.
They balled out. And, like, I don't think that I've seen Brisker play a better game in his entire career.
Look, a lot of people feel that way. And you know, it's a shame that, you know, when you mentioned the defensive tackle position, Terrence, where you would hope, or you would have hoped, that guys like Grady Jarrett, right, Javon Dexter, will be able to step up into that role to where you don't need to go get. I mean, that's the whole hope, right, with your draft picks and your free agent signings, that you fill these holes and they don't consistently be the void of your defense, especially when you're trying your hardest to fill that in. But that those are the positions that you need. And the reason I bring up Seattle and the Patriots is because anybody that watched that game, it was clear as day that there was a gap between those defenses and the Chicago Bears, despite what we as Bears fans might think about our defense, right? Despite what we might think, you still were able to see a gap. And I'm just trying to visualize, you know, the Bears closing that gap with what players, right? That's why I asked the question about, is it one defensive player? Like, if you get Max Crosby, does then that defense become as good as the ones we saw in the Super Bowl? You know what I'm saying?
It is a talent thing, right? It is a talent across the board. And so if you look at the Bears, right, there was an obvious investment once that they were going to draft Caleb. There was an obvious investment in the offensive side of the ball, right? They drafted Caleb. They drafted Rome. DJ Moore was a part of that. They then drafted Colson Loveland. They revamped the entire offensive line. They signed Swift. Right, so like there is a concerted effort to overhaul the amount of talent that was on offense, all because they were like, hey, we have a first-round draft pick, a quarterback that we're trying to pursue, and that we're going to land, and so we wanted to give him all the tools to be successful, right? Mm. And now that a lot of those situations on the offensive side of the ball have been solidified, right, the focus can be downturned to the defense as well, right? So, like, now we can have a concerted effort to revamping and reshaping the defense to Dennis Allen's strength and what he wants to run and the kind of players and the personnel that he prioritizes in running that personnel. And I don't think that, like, with the talent that's already there, I don't think there's a lot of change that needs to happen.
Right.
There's just a few impact pieces away.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, because, you know, guys like Tremaine Edmonds, right, TJ, those aren't mm-hmm. Dennis Allen guys. And they were very specific to Matt Eberflus's defense. And obviously that's why they're potential cap casualties, right? Where you might want to save that $15 million from Tremaine, that $7 or $8 million from TJ Edwards. But wait, now that I just said that, I'm curious, because I know you're a fan of this guy. Cole Kmet, are you interested in saving $8, $9 million by making him a cap casualty?
I am interested in making Cole Kmet a cap casualty. I don't know why you're making me do this on the radio. But like, no, like, so like it is, I'm not purely just saying just give him up, right? But like, also there is leverage to being able to put two tight ends out there and creating mismatches that way with Rome, DJ, Loveland, and Komet on the field in 12 personnel and still being able to stress the defense in a way as if you were spread out, right? So, like, Komet does have the value in that sense. But like, so, like, I'm not totally – if they brought him back, I wouldn't be mad at it. You know what I mean? Like, if they want to come back with him. It's like he still offers flexibility for the offense. Luther Burden ascending, Coastal Loveland ascending. If you're forcing my hand, I am more apt to rolling the dice on those guys' continued ascent and those their continued development and their expansion that they can offer the offense in that way.
It's a good outlook for the Bears. Good position to be in. Better than we've been in the past.
I'd much rather be in this position than the position we have been in the past and trying to figure out like how are we going to get the game back on track.
Get a coach, Terrence. Just get a coach. Be fine.
Hey, now, man. Like, hey, how do we compete with the champions?
I appreciate you calling in and checking in, man. And I, whenever I'm on, you have an open line straight to the top. When you want to call it. All right. Have a good one, brother. Talk to you soon.
I'll be doing it soon. All right, brother. Thank you.
312-644-6767. I am Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on 104.3 The Score. Hanging out till 5 o'clock. That's when we hand it off to Dustin Rhodes. Who is it? Zach Zaidman and David Hall today? Is that?
Yeah, I'll double check.
Yeah, I think it's Zach Zaidman and David Hall today. Mully's on vacation for the week.
David Hall and Zach Zaidman.
Look at that. Fresh off a couple of calls on the spring training. You get a chance to talk to Zach Zaidman gets a chance to chat with you guys today. That'll be a little bit later. But right now, we're taking your phone calls. Obviously, we're talking Bears. That's always top of mind for the majority of us. But also talking about an incredible feat for Team USA, taking down Team Canada. 2-1, the golden goal. Obviously, this is a big moment for all hockey fans out there. So I want you to be able to bask in it. So let's go out to the phone lines. Dave on the northwest side. Dave, what did this victory by Team USA mean to you specifically?
Well, first of all, I'm 61, so I've seen the 80s Miracle on Ice live, and it's about, see, goalies are in any hockey team. You have to have a good goalie. Jim Craig was the reason they won it back in the 80s, right? And Hellebuck stood on his head today. Now, here's another thing. I'll give a tooth up for a gold medal today.
Okay.
Jack Hughes. It's like hockey, people look at hockey players like tough, not sensitive people. But watch this. After they won the game, they went out and got Johnny Goudreau's two kids on the ice with them to take a picture.
Yeah, I saw that. That was a very heartfelt moment, man. I thought it was a great gesture by Team USA.
Again, people don't know this. Yes, hockey players are tough, but yes, they have hearts, and they're good people. You know, hockey players are unlike any other sports people. They will stand in line. They will sign autographs. For some reason, there's something about them. They give more because they've gotten more. You know, people have helped them get to the point where they are, and they don't forget that.
Yeah, I think, obviously, you know, when you're talking about hockey players, the locker room, the camaraderie, if you're going to be playing a physical sport like that, there has to be, you know, a level of sportsmanship that you have to have. And, you know, granted, they're tough. You saw, obviously, Hughes with his teeth broken, looking, oh my gosh, what other sport do you see guys like that? Not even in boxing, right? They're wearing mouthpieces. So to see something like that, you really identify with the grit of it all. And so whether you're talking about the players themselves or the goalie play, I mean, even Hellebuck, I mean, led the Olympics in save percentage at 94%, 95%. And the goals expected allowed was only 1.23, one of the tops. So, I mean, just, again, you have to – things need to come together. But try to paint the picture for us, Dave, in comparing the two teams and the feelings surrounding it. Obviously, you had good feelings in the victory and obviously seeing how they were able to dedicate some time to their former teammate. But – try to compare the two and the feelings that you felt maybe back in the 80s with the Miracle on Ice versus the gold medal that was won yesterday.
Well, see, first of all, the 80s, that wasn't a gold medal when they beat the Russians. And for that, they thought, see, that thing when they beat them, that was they felt that was the gold medal game. And that's why they won the whole thing. They had to just get past them. because if you don't remember, in the preliminaries in the 80s, they got whacked. They think it was like 9-1 or 10-1 in the preliminaries going up to the, you know, to that game.
Right.
So the thing is, they are similar in a lot of ways, but the thing is, after a while, you have to just believe in the people that you're playing with. First of all, people are just thrown together, you know, at times.
You're talking about the team. You're talking about the players themselves.
Yes. First of all, these players don't like each other because they play on different teams. And, you know, during the NHL season, you know, look, do I like you? No. I'm looking for one thing. I want to win the Stanley Cup. But this, now we're thrown together to win something for our country. So I will bypass all my ill feelings for you. And then after that, I want to kick your ass. It's funny in a way how they come together. And then 2 weeks later, you're seeing the same guys that have been playing. And they're beating the shit out of each other.
I'm sorry. No, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Dave, appreciate the phone call. You bring up some great points, right? And I think that's the beauty of even, you're not practicing at the same length like a Team USA in basketball, right? Because you're off season. Basketball, when you're playing in the Summer Olympics, there's no NBA going on, so you have the luxury of playing with your squad a little bit more. This is in the middle of the season, similar to what the World Cup will be in a couple of months, where these guys, you know, look at a lot of the MLS players. Their MLS season kicked off on Saturday. Chicago Fire lost 2-1, by the way, against the Houston Dynamo. Home opener next week, Saturday. I'll be hosting. Make sure you're there against CF Montreal.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug right there. Just shameless. Inside the Fire kicked off on Wednesday. You can check it out on Marquee Sports Network. I'm host of the Emmy Award-winning TV show. Just want to put that out there.
Shameless plug.
Shameless. That one was not shameless. That was just me doing whatever it is. But, to Dave's point, you go out and you put this team together, and these guys are in the middle of the season. This is unprecedented, right? What's going on for the Olympics right now with hockey. You know, you got guys, you know, I'm just running through the team. Minnesota Wild, Winnipeg Jets, Vegas Golden Knights, New Jersey Devils, Tampa Bay Lightning. There's so many different teams that, to Dave's point, you know, your goalies from, you know, Hellebuck's from the Jets. They have backups from the Dallas Stars, Boston Bruins, but all NHL talent. And, you know, guys feel like they're good, and just majority of professional athletes feel like they are the best. They just haven't been given the opportunity to do so. And obviously you put this team together, and whether you're the Kachuk brothers or you're anyone else for that matter, you think you're capable and you can win. And it's exactly what Team USA did. Phenomenal performance by the squad, getting the gold medal against Team Canada. And, you know, taking your calls and thoughts about this victory. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you live and local on Overnights right now. But also talking Bears, because I'm in on the Bears all night long. So let's go chat a little bit more about them as well. Let's go to Dino out in Crown Point, Indiana. Dino, are you tired of Chicagoans throwing subtle shade at Indiana over the last couple of weeks?
You know what? This has been going on for some time. I personally don't have a problem with them coming to Hammett. Did you know that the Bears actually were the Decatur Staleys?
And yes.
The NFL actually started in Hammett, Indiana, you know?
Yes, yes, we do know.
So it's an interesting fact. Not many people know that. But, you know, us here in Lake County, in Porter County, we consider ourselves more with Chicago. We associate with Chicago more than we do with the rest of the state. So, it's to me, it's really not a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
I'd like to see him come here. I won't have to drive as far to go see him.
Of course. You know? That's why you like the whole idea of them going over there.
It's not bad. It's got a good location there.
Dino, talk to me about I really want to get into the psyche of people that are over there. Because, obviously, people in Indiana and the region, they're like, hell yeah, bring the team over here. And that's obvious. It's for obvious reasons. You guys are Bears fans. You would love to have the team a little bit closer. But what is it about? Wait. What is it, Dina? Hold on. What is it about? What is it about what Chicagoans are saying about you that bothers you the most?
You know, that they think of us as more distant, being that we're just over the state line. But no, the new two New York teams play New Jersey. You know.
Yeah, but it's not Chicago, Dino. You know that.
I know. Chicago's a different thing.
Chicago's
a
different beast.
Also, it also shows, you know, the downstate politicians not. I mean, he sat on this for a long time. But I'll tell you something. I'm a betting guy. And if I were to make a bet, I would bet that within the 11th hour, somewhere like 11:59, something's going to happen in Illinois, and they're going to play in Chicago
of course
or
they
Arlington
are.
Or something.
I've been saying this every single day. I'm like, listen, it's the most Chicago thing ever to just be like, wait to the very last minute and be like, all right, fine. Yeah. All right, fine. Come here.
I know.
It's just like,
I know.
So obvious.
Last minute, you know it's going to happen.
But Dino, you just sound like a Chicago guy, Dino. You sound like you were over here in the Illinois side at one point in your life.
I'm born and raised in East Chicago, so I literally like 15 minutes from, 10 yeah. minutes from state line. So, yeah, we're all.
All right, what do you think, Dino? So if you're from East Chicago, then you already feel a certain type of way about the north side of the city and the surrounding yeah. suburbs. So what do you got to say yeah. about those people that are like, well, now it's going to be farther away from me because you're going further south?
Yeah, I know. They're going to complain about it, you know, just like we'll complain about it if it's up in Arlington. You know, that's going to be over an hour and a half to get up there.
Yeah, it's tough. So, but at least you guys get to take the 294. That's what I've been trying to tell everybody out there. Like, being able to take the 294 all the way to Arlington Heights, like, it's not as though, you know, you don't have a direct shot to Arlington Heights.
No.
You know?
No. No. They'll play there. Watch. They own the land. I mean,
right.
You know,
that's the other thing.
There's a little
they want to be there.
Now.
Right.
Yeah. Plus, I heard a little grumbling now from George as with the president of the Bears.
That's what they're saying, right? I mean, think yeah, about it. And I tried to bring that into perspective last week. You know, if you're George McCaskey, you didn't ask for this bad press, right? And then all of yeah. a sudden it happens and, you know, he cares about his image. This is a guy that walks around. I travel a lot for Bears games, not to cover them, but like as a fan. I've seen George sure. McCaskey in the parking lots in away games. Just roaming, sure. roaming the parking lots and tailgates. This is a guy that cares about public perception, right? And so,
sure,
he bought the land for a reason. He doesn't want to go to Indiana. George McCaskey, no shade, Dino. I know you're in Crown Point, but George McCaskey feels the same way about Indiana as everybody else in Chicago. Let's be very clear. It's not like he's living in a mansion, in a McMansion somewhere, or not a Mick, a real mansion. And then all of a sudden he's like, yeah, but hell, I want to drive 30 more minutes south to go to Hammond, Indiana. Exactly. Of course not. He doesn't want to do that.
Also, he doesn't want his legacy to be the one that he took the Bears out of Chicago, Illinois.
It'll be interesting. Dino, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks
but
for hanging out.
One more comment
oh,
I want to
yes,
make.
Yes, please, please, please.
One
please,
more quick one here.
Please.
With Caleb, okay, the quarterback. I don't know. Most people can see it, but we are watching and seeing something beyond very special with this guy.
Tell me more.
His demeanor. If you just watch him, just isolate. Like when I watch a game, sometimes I'll just focus on one player and watch him the entire game, sidelines or whatever. His demeanor, his leadership skills, how he's taken charge. He looks like he's a 7-8 year player right now. Not only a two, you know. So he's got it. If the Bears get a good pass rusher, beef up the secondary and maybe the offensive line, we got some good times here in Chicago.
Yeah, I agree. This is, you know, I think right now, Bears fans, the desire should be to be in the playoffs consistently and then yeah, grow
absolutely.
From there, right? So it's like, I don't want this yeah. to be a one-time flash in the pan, Bears got lucky and they made the playoffs. No, I want Bears mm-hmm. in the playoffs. Let's build on that. And I think they have not only the head coach, but the front office in order to continue to pile pieces together onto this one. And I think you're right.
Exactly.
We're watching greatness with Caleb Williams, and hopefully it continues to get to that point. Dino, I appreciate the phone call. And you know what? Listen, I'm here. I think I'm over my last couple rants where I was coming, not down, but just feeling, I don't know, certain type of way about Indiana. But I'm okay now. So I think, you know, for those people that are in Indiana, I'm more curious I know you want the Bears there. I don't need to hear that. I'm more curious about your thoughts on people from Chicago and how they've been talking negatively about your space. You know, like that to me, because then I feel like you can make the argument for why it's okay for the Bears to go over there. So Bears conversations, still talking Team USA hockey, all of it on the table, just waiting for you. 312-644-6767. Phone calls on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez, live and local right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 The Score.